This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Finn with the Greater Buffalo Niagara Regional Transportation Council is with us on the WBEN Troquhar College Lifeline. Discussion is shifting into high gear in a number of communities in Western New York on how to make roads safer for vehicles, pedestrians, and bicyclists. There have been many crashes this year, some of them fatal. Twin Cities Highway, North Tonawanda, there was a fatal accident earlier this week. This is among the roads being looked at. Mike, what's going on here? What has changed that you're focused on this so much right now?
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me. So the big change, I think, is a shift in attitude, especially at the federal level. There's a very large emphasis on improving safety all across the country, because our safety numbers, especially when you look at fatalities and serious injuries, they're moving in the wrong direction, especially after COVID. There's some times I've thought, like, did we forget how to drive after COVID? But that's something that's becoming a big focus. In Twin Cities specifically, you know, I'm sure there's some astute listeners who know the original plan for Twin Cities was to connect it all the way to Niagara Falls with the LaSalle Expressway. So the LaSalle Expressway and the Twin Cities would have met somewhere in Wheatfield. That never came to fruition because our needs changed in the region. And we have a lot of infrastructure like the Twin Cities that's out of character with the need that we have today. And we're looking at how we can best repurpose that infrastructure for the future.
You know, I live right by the highway. And I have to say, for a lot of people who drive, it is one of the dumbest designed highways, it seems like, in all of Western New York, because you have a highway running parallel to a residential street that oftentimes it's confusing to people who aren't living right there or who don't take it a lot, where to turn onto, if you're turning onto it, to what street should you be on, where to merge, things like that. And you can't really call it a highway either with so many traffic lights, boom, 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 in succession. All of these things, have you been hearing from residents, you know, over the years of like, hey, we have this problem, we have that problem, like, isn't there a better way?
Yeah, and confusing is the top word that comes out of the public input that's come in so far. And I think a lot of that is when this was originally designed, it feels like it wanted to be two different things that don't mix. So there's a limited access highway like the 290 and the 90 where you don't have pedestrians and bicyclists. And then there's just normal arterial expressways throughout our region, you know, like a Sheridan Drive, for example. And you don't mix those two when you're doing designs. But when they were originally building this, there's houses right up on Division Street. So they had to come up with a way of how to provide access to the houses and still try to have a highway. And that's why you see all this confusion with these giant intersections and Division Street being right there and signal lengths that are an extra long time. I think there's definitely a better way to do it, especially since the traffic that was projected back in the 60s when this was originally built just kind of never came to fruition. And that's a lot of what's going to be looked at during this project.
You know, it seems that roads were built way back when for speed and not for pedestrians or people on bikes. So what do you do about it?
Yeah, so really the best way to manage all of that is to do two things. Number one is, you separate the speed where it needs to be. So there's, you know, we need to have people moving quickly, especially with freight. Freight's growing with, you know, the extra use of Amazon and deliveries. Keep them on arterials that are built for that. And then also adapt the roads so that pedestrians can use them where there are pedestrians. Because the other thing is pedestrians aren't everywhere. They're in a lot of places. And there's a lot of need for pedestrians and bicyclists. Especially with cars becoming less affordable. I think that's some of why we're seeing the growth in e-bikes, you know, working class being priced out of vehicles. Well, I can get an e-bike that can still help me get to work, and that's good. But we need to build these roads so that they're safe for everyone. The best way to do that is, like I said, number one, separate them where you can. Number two, where we are mixing, reduce the speeds down so that they're safe for everyone. So that when you are seeing crashes, because those are inevitable, we're going to continue to see crashes. But the goal that the federal government is pushing and that we in our region are adopting is that when there are crashes, we don't want to see the fatalities, the serious injuries. Thunderbender's fine. But we really want to eliminate the fatalities and the serious injuries on our roadway network.
So this is in a study phase right now, which study has, you know, kind of become a dirty word to a lot of people in Western New York over the years with how long these can take and what comes as a result, which sometimes is something great, sometimes is almost nothing at all. Is there a way to run a study and think about changes at the same time that smaller changes are made? I guess, in other words, if you keep hearing the same complaints over and over and there's maybe an easy way for a quick fix, can that be done while a study for a greater fix is going on right now?
Absolutely. And that's one of the goals of many of the studies that we do at GBNRTC and that our member agencies are doing as well, is you look at what is the greater fix, because it's rare that we would conclude with a study and be able to afford the greater fix that is needed for the next 20 years. But the study can look at what can we do in the conclusion of the study to 5 years. And then once that's done, we'll see some improvements, but it's not ultimately the full goal that we would like. So then we go and try to program that out in the capital budget in the future. Looking at it at a tiered or phased approach is really the best way to do it.
Could something as simple as lighting be an issue here, and could it help?
Certainly. Lighting can always help. That is a proven safety countermeasure for pedestrians and bicyclists. Being able to see and identify pedestrians in instances where you're seeing a lot of crashes that are happening at night is definitely a potential for any situation where you're seeing a lot of crashes between pedestrians and vehicles.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for being on with us this morning. Appreciate the time, and we'll look for further updates on this and other projects. Mike Finn is with the Greater Buffalo Niagara Regional Transportation Council, joining us live this morning.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans, coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.